What do you think if you heard that outside of your window?
That things are changing? I don't know.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, that's the sound of some raccoons. Just a few days ago, my mom was sitting in their kitchen, I assume, you know, playing solitaire or reading or doing a puzzle or something else barbish. And all of a sudden, a scuffle broke out outside of something making that kind of noise. And so she went out to go see what was going on and called me. And I went out too with my headlamp. And in a tree, we saw a raccoon. And I think there was probably another one. But yeah, things are changing. They're out and about and making some noise. I don't know whether that was a scuffle or a mating thing or what, but they were sure loud.
I was driving home. You know, it was dark already. I had to go out for an errand and then came back and came down our road and saw something slither across the road. It felt like a slither. So I was like, okay. Oh. So I turned the car lights hoping I could catch it, but it was pretty fast. So of course I didn't see it. But so then I was trying to tell myself, what did I see? And I was like, okay, it was low to the ground. So I'm thinking it's probably a fox, probably more of a cane, you know, like a, or a cat, like, it was too long to be like a house cat, I think.
And a slither.
There was something about the way, I don't know if sliver is the right way to say it, but the fast and deftness of it, that's why I say.
Weasel? So like maybe an otter or?
No, I think bigger than that.
Fisher?
Mm.
Okay, bigger than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe. And I don't know now if I'm just romanticizing the whole deal, but I think I saw more of like fur, like coloring of a fox. What's the color? What?
Oh, cool.
How would I know the coloring of a fisher?
They're brown.
Okay.
They're dark brown.
Dark brown.
They would,
okay.
At night, they might appear black.
But
if you saw more color, then I would say, yeah, a fox or something like that.
And I have seen foxes around our place. Not frequently, but I have. Yeah, I think my first thought was that it was kind of a cat color, if that makes sense. So a lighter cat.
Cats come in many colors.
I know. A lighter, like a tabby, orangey sort of look.
Okay.
Yeah, tabby cat. There
so if I think of foxes as almost like big cat sized, do you think it could have been like a coyote?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I guess I'd. Yeah, we hear.
Coyote or coyote?
Depends if I want to be cool.
Oh, which one's the cool one?
Coyote, I think.
Okay.
Sounds like you're a ranch hand somewhere out west.
Yeah. Saw a coyote.
Yeah, we do have the sound. So we're kind of down a hill a little bit. You kind of know where we're at. When we go out at night and like stop at the mailbox, you sometimes hear coyotes because I had to be told, don't be afraid. This is a normal sound, but the sound doesn't travel down to our house, but it's fairly close to us. But I'm assuming, I'll have to look at some photos. You just don't know what your mind says, but at least I was paying attention, right? Curiosity.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't try to run it over. That's a nice thing. Not that I've ever.
You're doing better than some.
Been that person, but this is the Season Watch pod you're listening to, a production of KEXE and KBXE. Thank you for being with us. I'm Heidi Holton. That's Charlie Mitchell. And each week, it's this dive into what we've seen, what students have seen, what John Latimer needs to inform us about. Now, we're not going to include it, but this week on the Tuesday morning show, was there a lot of curling talk.
It's the Olympics.
Yes, it is. And John's been curling as long as he has been doing phenology practice. No, he's been curling a little longer than the official phenology on the air. So,
yep.
We'll give it to him. It was a good explanation.
You'd think he'd be a full spiral by now.
It was a very funny thing he had to go out of town for an appointment at the time that the curling match was going on, and he was hyper vigilant about, no one better text me. I've told everybody I don't want to know. And then I'm sending him texts of bars that he might go to mid-afternoon in the town he was in, just in case. But he's like, they'd have to have Peacock. you know, like he was just on top of everything about it. Oh. You know? So I didn't, I should have checked back in with him to see if he was able to do it. Sadly, they were hoping for gold for the first time for the U.S. team, but they got silver. It was a big deal.
Hey.
And I will say there is a story at our website, kexc.org. Our very own photographer, Lori Shaw, went to the Duluth Curling Center when that match was going on. So we've got a great photo display of the people cheering them on. So really cool stuff. So we'd love to hear from you. Curling isn't outside, but because it's like a cold sport, somehow it seems like, I mean, it started outside. I just don't ever hear of people curling on a lake.
Yeah. That should be a thing.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun.
Okay, I don't need to Google this right now.
Well, no,
I can be patient.
Will you, though? I love hearing your old-timey keyboard.
Hey, now. Rude.
I love it. No, I actually love it. I was just, yeah. So Charlie's going to Google for us and get some, is there curl? See, I love it. This just in.
Okay. Yep. So wild ice curling is the
wild
traditional
ice
version.
Okay. So we can almost.
Oh, it was originally a Scottish sport that began on frozen ponds.
Okay.
You know, according to the internet. So
sure.
I don't
sure
know how much to believe, but
right. You know. It may or may not be true, but it lines up with what we were thinking. I think, you know, down the road, that could be a very fun activity for KEXC to host, would be a wild ice curling championship.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. But why so?
I don't know if the curling club will let us use their, okay, it's either, they're either properly referred to as rocks or as stones. Do you know which one?
Stone.
Okay.
Well, that's what John said, but
okay.
I've heard people say rock too, so I don't.
I just want to be respectful of curling culture, you know?
Yeah.
Use the proper terminology.
Anyway, so let's talk about what we heard, what we saw, what was going on this week when it comes to nature.
This week, John Latimer visited Long Lake Conservation Center, where I think three different Grand Rapids schools were all visiting at the same time. So we were going to listen to a report from them.
Hi, this is Cohen and Baron from Cohasset Elementary.
And Gus from Grand Rapids Elementary. Big Fork Elementary was also with us on our trip. Long Lake Conservation Center from February 4th through the 6th. The high temperature was 36 degrees Fahrenheit and the low was 16. At the bird feeders, we saw downy woodpeckers, red-bellied woodpeckers, pine grouse beaks, chickadees, nut hatching, and of course, squirrels and more squirrels. In the forest, we noticed that there was trees that still have some leaves on them. We also found deer, mouse, and rabbit tracks.
We heard a barred owl calling in the evening and bohemian waxwings singing from the treetops during the day. The woodpeckers were heard drumming. Mr. Latimer visited us for a phrenology walk. Some of these things we talked about on the walk included winter's a good time to find and investigate bird nests. When looking closely at evergreen needles, you know that if it has more than one needle in a bundle, it's from a pine tree. Squirrels make nests called drays.
You can tell an aspen from a birch tree by the color of the branches. Aspens have white branches, and birch trees have black branches. Grouse like to hide in thickets because the close together trees protect them from hawks looking for a grouse meal. Unlike in our teeth, cavities in trees are good. The holes are homes for wildlife like songbirds, owls, and bats. We end the walk by following a deer trail in a frozen swamp where we found black spruce trees, tamarack trees, Labrador tea plants, and sphagnum moss. Thanks for joining us on our field trip, Mr. Latimer. We had a great time exploring nature, and we want to remind everyone to brush your teeth, unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Can we always have brush your teeth? Yes. Our favorite thing now.
Unlike in teeth, cavities in trees are good.
It's still hard to, unless you know all this stuff, to understand that some of the stuff that doesn't look great, like trees down on the ground, you know, there's like a automatic thing of like everything needs to look pristine because you don't think about who's living in those trees down or those cavities.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we're really shaped by our idea of, I don't know, like the old like English garden, like for fancy people, where like everything should kind of be sculpted and there should never be a dead leaf on the ground. And even like the trees should be in like cool shapes. And that's not how nature is. Like, I see that so much in our society's love of like a mowed lawn.
Yeah.
Just feels very old school English palace to me. Like, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about it before on KEXE, but I think it's probably, as we go forward, it's going to be, we should start connecting in with people again that have done things like kept their shoreline natural and, you know, really talk about what that means for wildlife and everything. And like to get over this idea of the pristine lakeshore that is like you're on a real estate show on HGTV where everything looks perfect, you know?
Yeah.
No, if you want to see critters and you want things to be healthy, that's the way to do it.
And so many people, I think, live rurally so that they get to experience nature and see wildlife. And the best way to do that is to invite wildlife close. Mm-hmm. And a mowed lawn doesn't really do much good in that area. One of my best friends lives out in Colorado. He's a native plant horticulturist, I guess. it's always good to have friends who are like as strange as you are, but he's definitely the person who, like, if you're driving along a road, there'll be a car parked in the shoulder, and then like 200 yards back in this what seems like brush pile of nothing, there's my friend Steven harvesting some seeds from some plant that doesn't grow anywhere else. And like, he's learning how to, it's a lot of seeds need really specific conditions to actually sprout, where they need to like be ground as if they're in a stomach, or they need however many days below zero so that they know that it's a safe time to come out and seed. So he's been developing he's been learning all of these techniques to grow these native plants and has been successful. And you can actually see from where the nursery he works for has sold their plants, there are specific butterflies that are like following the trail of these plantings further north. And all because like one guy is willing to be the weirdo and like...
Okay, that could be a subtitle for Season Watch. If you're willing to be the weirdo, or phenology.
If you're willing to be the weirdo, yeah, I'm going to put that on my business cards.
That's a good thing. Well, you know, it's making me think about how we, some of us grow up used to just getting like strawberries at the grocery store, not thinking about where strawberries are growing, not thinking about, for instance, when we first moved to the property I live on now. We were doing garden stuff, and it's like I bought one strawberry plant. And I remember Tom just being so like, he's like, what are you doing? You know, that's not going to do anything. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll take care of it. I'll try. No, it's not one. You can't have one. Same with, you know, that was an interesting thing as we built up our apple trees of like, you got to have certain, they've got to pollinate. They've got to, you know, you don't just do one apple tree. You got to think about that. And even the, as you explained, Stephen doing of like, what it would be like if it had been in a stomach, a seed. Like, you can't just stick something under dirt and assume it's going to work.
Yeah. There's, nature is so complex. And like, yeah, I think it's so interesting. It makes me really happy thinking of all the weirdos there are out in the world doing stuff like that. If I may lovingly refer to Sam Gaida, our Galls guy, as a weirdo.
I think.
And how else do we get to learn?
Yeah.
Oh, and last week when I was learning more about shrews, it turns out that their venom is like a really key ingredient to curing some sorts of like ovarian and prostate cancers.
Wow.
And you can't get that protein anywhere except from a short-tailed shrew.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, weirdos.
Well, and even like,
we need them.
Yeah, when another thing I learned like right away when we moved here was there's an island across from us that has Canada U. And the DNR was fencing it off because deer were eating it, which, by the way, the most fun thing to see is a deer either walking on a frozen lake or swimming is the coolest thing ever. But aside from that, and then at that time, the DNR was, you know, we're close to town and within city limits, but they were trying to get people to deer hunt because there were too many and they wanted to keep, you know, so Canada U has properties that are used in the treatment of breast cancer, I believe. I don't know. So that was just an interesting thing.
And then use my old timey keyboard to find out.
Yes. Why don't you do that? It was, that was actually what led to deer hunting becoming part of our tradition here because it felt like we were doing something for the good, you know? And then I wasn't sure I wanted to ever eat deer, but I sure like having a, and my mother thought this was insane. Speaking of weirdos, a carcass hanging outside my kitchen window to watch all the birds feast on it was just the best thing ever, which I would have never thought that I would like something like that.
Exactly.
And then I quickly learned to make one of the best dishes ever, venison curry. So I got over my weirdness about eating deer too. So,
man, I'm going to have to pick up that habit.
I just want to say, Sam Guide, if you're listening, you can certainly leave us a speak pipe message if you're okay with being called a weirdo.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because it's entirely possible Sam is with us today. Well, let's...
Love you, Sam. Also, I did look it up, and you are correct.
Okay.
Both the Pacific U and Canada U produce a class of chemicals called taxanes, chemicals that are currently being used to fight cancer.
Okay. The thing I didn't understand about that was... Was someone out there harvesting it for that? Or is just this a good thing to do in the world? No, we don't need to figure that out right now. I don't always need to think ahead.
So Native American First Nation peoples would use yew for specific things. So we might have gotten a clue from that. Also, there are these chemists who have an entire library of different proteins and what their shapes are like. And so I would assume that maybe someone was looking at the venom from a short-tailed shrew just out of like a how does this work kind of thing, added it into that database, and someone was like, oh, that looks like this, which we used to fight cancer. Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be, that's how I imagine it happening. I have no idea. If you know, leave us a voice memo through SpeakPipe.
There we go. We always love to, on the Season Watch Pod, take a listen to some of the information John Latimer bequests to us each and every week. You pulled out this part. How come we should listen to this?
Beginning of bald eagle nesting season, and they're easily visible. I love them. Andy talks about the solid owl, which you know I love.
This week has had a number of visits to the nest by the bald eagles. Pretty much daily. I don't believe they're spending the night, but they are definitely coming in the morning and throughout the day. My friend Dallas Hudson has seen them copulating and also bringing sticks to the nest. Both of us are watching for that moment. Just before they begin to lay eggs, they will be grabbing hay or cattails or something. They'll oftentimes tear them off of the roof of a muskrat house, or I've seen them actually pluck them from these big round bales of hay and drag that up to the nest. And typically with the bald eagles, they will be on the nest and sitting on eggs at the end of the first week of March. The 8th of March is the average date for the eagle to be sitting on eggs in the nest. They will be hanging out and staying at the nest usually around the 23rd of February. They will be sort of back and hanging out on the nest. The young will first make sounds from the nest. They'll start begging for food in late May. The 22nd of May is my average date. And my average date for fledging is around the end of the second week of July. So that's kind of the rundown on eagles. But figure they should be coming. If you have a nest near you, keep an eye on it. They should be coming back to the nest in the next week or two. And they should be sitting on eggs at the end of the first week of March. February also marks the return of red-tailed hawks to northern Minnesota. They aren't very far away. You only have to drive to Minneapolis to see lots of red-tailed hawks. And they will start moving north around this time of year and will start showing up here. Other birds that have been gone for parts of the winter and should be returning are snow buntings, purple finch, and I have a number of reports and auditory proof that the saw-whet owls will return to northern Minnesota before the end of February. The saw-whet owl is the one that sounds a bit like a truck's backup alarm. It's kind of that call, and you will probably start to hear that at the end of this month if things continue to run apace.
That's our very own John Latimer. And while we were live on the air and I was hearing this, I was trying to catch his eye because I could hit the sound effect. But then I thought his whistle's better for the saw-whet.
Right. Yep. And then I get to add another Latimer impression to my secret file folder of Latimer impressions.
So one thing, too, that we had talked this week to Carol Henderson, the superstar of the DNR and the champion of so many things that we get to see now, including, of course, the trumpeter swan. But John was talking to Carol about how he's got that nest outside his house of eagles. And He's like, if that had been there before I built my house, I wouldn't be able to build my house, which made Carol laugh a lot. But it was really fun to hear how you can just hear how much John loves that. He doesn't even have to go anywhere to be witnessing that.
I know. I love that John has a spotting scope set up in his bedroom to like spy on the bald eagles on their nest.
That I did not know, but okay. Good to know.
He does.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
He's mentioned it occasionally.
Wait, what was that new tagline that we came up with?
Nature's creepy neighbor.
Okay, that'll work.
What was it? Weirdos?
Yes.
Be the weirdo. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah, as soon as you start thinking of the bald eagles as like, you know, a neighbor instead of like an eagle, having a spotting scope really changes the game. Like, I'm going to watch you raise your kids.
Okay, that's creepy neighbors right there.
What you bringing home for dinner, guys?
Not staying overnight. He was pointing that out to us. Yeah. Yet. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the mention of copulating that he and Dallas both have been watching or seeing or whatever way you want to put that. I'll move on from that very quickly. That sounded weird.
Nature's creepy neighbors.
There we go. I guess that's what we're about. Well, speaking of, I think this is a perfect time, speaking of creepy neighbors, to listen to our next clip. It really sort of plays into that as well. I mean, only if you think a dragon is creepy.
True.
Thursday also had some prodigious dragon's teeth. Dragon's teeth are those icicles that form on south-facing snowbanks. where the snow starts to get exposed and melting. And when that happens, the dripping water freezes into these icicles, and I've always called them dragon's teeth. And most of the kids that have dealt with me over the years have learned them as dragon's teeth. So that's what we're going to continue to call them.
So I find that one just delightfully whimsical. Every time I like go into a parking lot and I see one of those really nasty, huge gray piles of snow that just are full of like asphalt and sadness. But then if you look closer and you see all these little dragon's teeth in there, it just brings a little bit of wonder to the world, you know?
And before John even mentioned the dragon's teeth this week, you had taken a photo.
I had. Yep. I love it when that happens. Yeah. I got to use it for the web story.
Yeah, you can check out the web stories of, you get to hear the phenology student reports that came in and John's full phenology as well, and along with conversations we've had, all of that available at kaxc.org. One way you can help us this week is tell other people about Season Watch. Have them sign up for it, for the podcast. Listen in. Leave a message for us. We'd love to hear from you.
Please do. And if you have any special Valentines to send to friends, pets, neighbors in your life, send us a message on SpeakPipe. We'd love to hear it.
And that one, I really want to hear this. It's what or who do you love? So that leaves it wide open that you could say, I love the dragon's teeth. I love the gall. and happy Valentine's to all the galls out there. But you can find the link to that SpeakPipe right at our website. Look for the cute kitty with the bow tie, kaxe.org.
You can also send it into the Season Watch one. I'd love to hear it.
Oh, that's true. But what am I saying? Yes.
We can route it to the right people.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We have those skills, don't we?
Oh, no. Route or route?
I think for that instance, we're route, aren't we? No. Route. We don't know. I think it's good either way.
It's regional.
I wish they wouldn't, in these instances, say potato, potato, because I've never heard anyone say potato. Have you?
Right.
Nope. Shouldn't be the example.
Words, man.
Yeah, words. Well, thank you for tuning in today. We've got some folks we want to thank.
For the Northern Sowet Owl recording we're about to hear, we can thank Peter Mundale, who recorded it near Duluth Township. And then for the raccoons, we can thank a iNatural observation by Chai Guy, CHI_GUY.
And your mother.
That recording comes to us all the way from Illinois.
And your mother.
And my mother for inspiring us.
Exactly, yes.
Yes. Thanks, Barb.
Love you, Barb.
We do love you, Barb. You're the best.
And our very own John Latimer, of course. And that's Charlie Mitchell. I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for being a part of the Season Watch Pod. Just for funsies, let's listen to John's whistle version of that as well.
Oh, yes, please.
It's kind of that.
Okay, we're good.
Happy Valentine's Day to all the Sowet Owls.
Hey, I love that. They're not big, are they? They're little guys.
No, they're like the size of like a pop can. And they weigh as much as like 2 AA batteries. They're so tiny and so cute.
Why is saying they're the size of a pop can the cutest thing ever?
I love them. You know that Haley and my first date was going to the band Sowet Owls, right?
No, that's great.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
There you go. One time Laura Erickson brought in her pet owl when she was on live with us. And it was on the broadcast the whole time. She was just holding the owl. So cute.
Do you know what kind?
I think it was a Sowet because it was pretty small.
Oh, my God.
Those yeah.
So little.
Yeah.
I love them so much.
She didn't tell
and
us
like,
she was bringing it. It was pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Man, how do I get to be the person who has a pet solid owl?
You know what?
Their defense mechanism isn't to fly away. It's just to stay very still. And so when you, like, catch them and you band them, you're, like, supposed to put them on the little scale to weigh how much they are. And they just, like, lay there on their back with their little feet tucked up to their bellies. Oh, it's so cute.
Listen, I think it could happen. You've put it out into the universe now for yourself.
Excellent.
Yes.
Let's hope it comes my way.